If you would, take your Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Acts. We're going to begin in verse 15 and work through the rest of the chapter through verse 40. And what I'll do is I'm going to read the passages as I come to the points. So I won't read the whole thing at the same time. This morning I had my first experience at working on the bulletin. So you have a bulletin, praise the Lord.
Amen.
But my notes, I forgot to change when I printed out my notes, I forgot to change the printer to only print on one side. So it printed on both sides. But the problem is, this side is like this, and the other side is like this. So I'm going to have to figure out here to make sure that I've got my notes straight. Find in your Bibles Acts chapter 21. The Apostle Paul has, and we'll get there in just a moment. I'll show you the map. Now, I don't normally start with jokes.
Yeah.
But this morning, I found a couple that will kind of get us thinking about what we're going to talk about, rumors. A guy spots a sign outside a house that reads, "Talking dog for sale." Intrigued, he walks in. "So, what have you done with your life?" he asks the dog. "I've led a very full life," says the dog. "I lived in the Alps rescuing avalanche victims. Then I served my country in Iraq. And now I spend my days reading to the residents of a retirement home." The guy is flabbergasted. He asked the dog's owner. He said, "Why on earth would you want to get rid of such an incredible dog like that?" The owner says, "Because he's a liar. He never did any of that." Such is the fact that most rumors are lies that might as well have been told by a dog. Now, most of us here can remember, and that dates us, I guess, the TV show Andy Griffith. Well, it was the TV show of my youth. What's ironic is that while Andy never received a reward for his own show, Don Knotts, who played Barney, won several awards for his portrayal of Barney Fife. Now, as you know, Barney was always getting into trouble. Andy carried no gun, but Barney always had his. Now, the funny thing about Barney's sidearm was that it contained no bullets. He carried one bullet in his shirt pocket. Mm-hmm. Now, the reason being is one day he was showing off with his gun, how he was flipping it around and all this. Now, Andy told him, said, "Now, put that gun back in your holster and quit playing with it. Guns are dangerous, Barney." Barney reholstered his revolver and said, "Yes. Guns are dangerous, but they're only dangerous for those who are not schooled in the use of firearms. However, I'm a highly trained expert." And as he said, "I'm a highly trained expert," he slaps his holstered revolver, and guess what? Pow! It went off, firing into the floor of the courthouse. Thereafter, Barney kept his one bullet in his pocket. Now, what becomes even funnier is than Barney's negligence and his gun going off in that episode are the rumors that came out of the incident. Here's kind of the progression of the rumors. Barney shot his gun into the floor at the courthouse. Barney shot his foot. Barney shot his leg. Barney shot himself. Poor Barney, he's gone. Someone has said, for something totally without support, a rumor sure does travel fast. Mark Twain wrote, "The rumors of my death have been greatly exaggerated." Basically, he was saying that the rumors of my death are false. Yeah. Now, this morning, we are going to see in the life of the Apostle Paul just how terrible rumors can be.
Amen.
However, these rumors about the Apostle Paul were used by the Lord so that Paul would have opportunity to bear the name of the Lord before kings. He'd already been preaching to the Gentiles. He started out preaching to the Jews. Then he went to the Gentiles when the Jews refused. And now God was working in the background so that the prophecy would be fulfilled, that Paul would preach before to the Jews, the Gentiles, and bear the name of Christ before kings. And that's the rest of the book after chapter 40, chapter 21. Chapter 22 through 28 is about how Paul was used of God before kings.
Right.
Now, the lesson for you and me today is that if we try to live for the Lord, if we live to please the Lord, then we risk rumors. Mm. We do. We risk rumors.
Right.
And that's the challenge that we have. I'm gonna read verse 1 first, actually, verse 15. And after those days, we took up our carriages, in other words, baggage, and went up to Jerusalem. Now, here's a map of how Paul got there. He was in Corinth, and he went back up to Berea and Philippi and Thessalonica, and he came down the coast of Asia Minor, which is now Turkey. And he came to Kos and Patara and Rhodes, and he came over to Tyre over here. And he come through down Ptolemy and Caesarea, and he came to Jerusalem. So Paul is now in Jerusalem and went up to Jerusalem. There went with us also certain of the disciples of Caesarea. So they left Caesarea and they went up to Jerusalem. They go up to Jerusalem because they're climbing in altitude. And when we were come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. And the day following, Paul went in with us unto James, and all the elders were present. Okay, now this episode in his life, as he's come to Jerusalem, come back to Jerusalem, teaches us this lesson. We must live our lives in such a way that we run the risk of false rumors about us. And I'm going to bring it down and make it really, really roadworthy at the end. But this is very important. Our lives should be such that there are rumors about us, because we're living for the Lord. And that's what will happen. Somebody will have something bad to say about you if you are living for the Lord. Paul had arrived at Jerusalem. Verse 17 tells us that Paul and his companions and the financial gift from the Greek churches were received gladly. The next day, Paul reported to the church leaders. Let's begin in verse 18. And the following day, Paul went in with us unto James, and all the leaders were present. And when he had saluted them, he declared particularly what things God had wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord and said unto him, Thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are which believe, and they are all zealous of the law. And they are informed of thee. Yes, let me go to the point. Rumors. The first rumor that we're going to deal with is rumors about his message. His message. And here's what it is. And they are informed of thee that thou teachest all the Jews which are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children, neither to walk after the customs. What is it, therefore? The multitude must needs come together, for they will hear that thou art come. Do therefore this that we say to thee. We have four men which have a vow on them. Them take and purify thyself with them and be at charges with them, that they may shave their heads and all may know that those things whereof they were informed concerning thee are nothing, but that thou thyself also walkest orderly and keepest the law. As touching the Gentiles which believe, we've written and concluded that they observe no such thing, save only that they keep themselves from the things offered to idols, and from blood, and from strangled, and from fornication. Then Paul took them in, and the next day, purifying himself with them, entered into the temple to signify the accomplishment of the days of purification, until that an offering should be offered for every one of them. Okay, so he goes in. Next day, Paul goes in, and he talks to them particularly. Particularly. Now we don't use that expression very much anymore. The word translated particularly is actually several words which give the basic meaning of what used to be heard at the Jot'em Down store. Lum and Abner's Jot'em Down store. Abner Peabody speaking. And he would get a call from somebody, and they would say, well, tell me every little thing. That was what he would say. Every little thing. Tell me every little thing. And so that's what it means. That's what it means. Every little thing. Just, you know, that's the idea. Paul told the leaders every little thing about what God was doing in the Gentiles. He was giving them details. He told them, he recounted what had happened, what God had been doing in detail. And so they were pleased. They were pleased. And verse 20, and when they heard it, they glorified the Lord. They were praising God for what God had done among the Jews and the Gentiles, but especially among the Gentiles. Luke recounts that the church leaders told Paul about the rumors. Then they come get down to business after glorifying the Lord. Okay, thou seest, brother. Now look, see here, brother. There are many thousands of Jews here in Jerusalem now. And they've been informed by Jews that have come from where you've been, that you're teaching other Jews to go astray. Now, Paul wasn't teaching that. We know it. He wasn't telling the Jews that they weren't supposed to. That he said you don't have to keep the law to be saved, but he said that the Gentiles didn't have to become Jews to be saved, is what he was teaching. So he was teaching the Gentiles, and actually, they had already written, Council of Jerusalem in Acts chapter 15, they wrote the letter saying, Gentiles don't have to observe Jewish customs to be Christians. We just ask them that they keep themselves from things offered to idols. Don't be eating meat that's been dedicated to a god, a Greek or Roman god, before, and don't be eating meat from it. Don't be eating blood. And don't eat stuff that's been strangled. And then keep yourself from fornication. The word fornication there, of course, is the word from which we get the word pornography. And it speaks of the whole gamut of immorality. Everything from premarital relationships to anything outside the conjugal relationship of a couple who's been married. A man and woman, one man, one woman for life. Anything outside of that is included in this word fornication. And so that's what we told them to do. Don't act like the rest of the Gentiles. But you don't have to become Jews. But they were saying that here's the lie. That Paul was teaching all the Jews to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children, neither to walk after the customs. And that's the rumor that was coming back from outlying areas from where Paul had been preaching to Jerusalem. So people were kind of stirred up. Now, of course, this was untrue. And these brothers knew that. And as I just said, they had even sent letters with Paul to the Gentiles that they did not have to keep the law of Moses and the customs of the Jews. They had been instructed them, as we learned in Acts chapter 15 and what I just read in verse 25. Got something for you. Here's another little funny thing. This is Brother Tongue, and he keeps us posted. Brother Tongue keeps us posted. Now, I don't know if you can see it, but I'm going to read it to you. The first box, you can see the tongue. Everybody sees that tongue. Yeah. It wags at both ends. Please promise you won't tell a soul.
Yeah.
It's his own private business, you know. Second block. And now I'm afraid she'll tell that to everyone. Then the third one down here in the corner. Of course, I don't talk too much. Yeah. I don't talk too much. And then the next one, it's just that the ones I tell spread it all over town.
Yeah.
So James, and you know, that was the rumor going around. There were rumors, and these men wanted to take care of it. So there were rumors about Paul's message. And so these brothers wanted to get Paul straightened out, and so they gave him a suggestion how he could demonstrate his loyalty to Moses and prove that the rumors are false. Now, earlier on, Paul, he told the Ephesians, he didn't go to Ephesus. He stopped on the coast and he called for the Ephesian elders because he didn't want to take the time to go to Ephesus because he wanted to get to Jerusalem by Passover. Was it Passover? I don't remember what, but he wanted to get to Jerusalem for a Jewish festival, a Jewish holiday or Jewish, festival. But one thing that he had done in Corinth, he had had a vow, and he let his hair grow long, and he had shaved his head at Corinth, and he was taking the hair to Jerusalem with him, and he was going to have it. He was going to offer an offering, and he was going to burn the hair with the burnt offering. So he was keeping Jewish. He was doing Jewish ritual, Jewish customs. So he made a vow at Corinth, and he cut his hair according to the custom and was planning to burn his hair with an offering at the temple in Jerusalem. Paul did not want to offend his brother Israelites. He was very, very, very concerned about their souls. In fact, we find in Romans chapter 9, Paul's thoughts on the Jews. And this is something that we need to remember. And a lot of churches today need to remember. You see, most of those who claim to be evangelical today follow what's called replacement theology, divestment theology. They say that the church has replaced the Jew, and all the promises of the Old Testament are now no longer to Israel. they're for the church. Baloney. Here's what Paul thought. He says, I say the truth in Christ, I'll not. My conscience also bear me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. He's talking about the Jewish people. He wanted Jews to get saved. He knew God wasn't through with the Jew, and I'll read another verse to show you. He goes, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. Paul was willing to be sent to hell for his people. That's his burden. That was his burden. Over in chapter 10, verse 25. No, it's not chapter 10. Chapter 11, verse 25. I'll get it straight in a minute. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. And this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. I mean, Paul repeats what God gave to Jeremiah and to Ezekiel and to Abraham. A covenant. And to David, those covenants have not been thrown away. The church has not replaced Israel. And Paul knew that. He preached to Israel. And he was concerned about Israel. He was willing to be condemned in hell for the souls of his fellow Jews. Over in 1 Corinthians, we find Paul's thoughts. First about the thoughts about Jews, and next, let's look at Paul's thoughts about the law of Moses. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 19 to 21, or 22, I guess. Here's what he says. For though I be free from all men, yet I have made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. Paul says, when I'm with the Jewish people, I observe Jewish customs. I'm careful what I eat. I eat kosher. I cover my head when I'm praying. Paul, you know, he was saying, when I'm with the Jews, I know their customs and I follow their customs, their law, the law. That I might win them, that I might gain them, that I have be able to present Christ to them. To them that are under the law as under the law. He said, I follow the law that they do. That I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law, as without the law. Those like Gentiles who have no law of Moses. He says, and who don't have the laws of sacrifice. And the laws of kosher eating and things like that. And Paul says, I don't impose upon them the fact that I don't eat pork. He goes on. Here, and he says, to them that are without the law, as without the law, being not without law, the law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. So I present to them the law of Christ. In other places, he talks about the law of Christ being love God and love your neighbor, just like Jesus presented it. To the weak, became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. Those with weak consciences, I was careful to be careful around them. I made all things to all men that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Now, he explains his opinion regarding the law of Moses. The idea he presents in these verses is that as much as possible without compromising biblical principles. Now, that doesn't mean, and a lot of people say, well, you want to be like them. If you want to win them, you got to be like them. So you got to go to the bars to minister to them. No, you don't have to go to the bars. But you don't have to start preaching to them when you meet them on the street or when you work with them. And grab them by the collar, say, you know, shake them hard and say, you're going to die and go to hell. You try to be friends with them. Don't try to offend them to begin with. Knew about this missionary couple, it was another couple, and they had new neighbors move in. They were Muslims. And they wanted to reach out to these people, so they invited them over for a cookout. And what this couple did was they went all whole hog, and they not literally hog, but they had seafood. They had fish and they had shrimp grilled. Now, most of us just love that kind of food.
Yeah.
But that's abomination to a Muslim. And this couple didn't know it. And they weren't trying to be offensive. But in their ignorance, they offended that other couple and they never came back. But it wasn't, I mean, they didn't do it on purpose. But, you know, in that respect, you know, sometimes we need to be careful.
Right.
It's not that we have to dip into the world of sin to win sinners. We've got enough of that in our own lives without adding to what everybody else is doing. The idea is that we are careful not to be offensive. The cross is an offense.
That's right.
When you're preaching the cross of Christ, you're slapping people in the face with the fact that they are sinners. And that they're not good enough and never can be good enough to be accepted by God.
Right.
But the thing is, the cross, just like it was foolishness to the Greeks and an abomination to the Jews, the fact is, it will offend. Our message will offend regardless. So we don't need to do anything else to be offensive. With Jewish people, Paul would be Jewish and follow Moses. With the Gentiles, he would leave Moses behind and be Christian. He followed the customs and the practices of the people he was trying to reach with the gospel so that he would not offend them. Now, I was very fortunate in my years in Quebec. I had a couple of French-Canadian believers who were friends. And I could talk to them frankly about things that, you know, I would ask them questions about this or that and how I could approach people without being offensive. And one of the, you know, we tried to assimilate as much of their culture as possible, get involved with them. And you've heard the story of the music school and all of that. And so this is what we did. And I didn't fly Old Glory on a flagpole in my yard. No, I didn't. You know, I didn't go around saying, "Well, back in the States, back in the USA, we do it this way." I didn't approach the church people that way. I let them. I asked them, "Okay, how I encouraged them. I said, "The Bible teaches that we give to missions. How do you want to do it?" We had a fellow come in and preach on faith promise. Well, they did their own brand of faith promise. And it wasn't like his. But I let them do it their way. And to this day, they support missionaries.
Yeah.
They continue supporting missionaries. So we tried to be careful not to be offensive. Our message of the cross was offense enough without our being what would be called ugly Americans. So this is what Paul was trying to do, but it didn't matter. Whatever he did, it was wrong. There were rumors about his message. Then there were also rumors about his practice of the law. And verse 26 of Acts chapter 21, he says this: "Then Paul took them in, and the next day, purifying himself with them, entered into the temple to signify the accomplishment of the days of purification until that an offering should be offered for every one of them." Let's go on, verse 27. "And when the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews, which were of Asia, when they saw him in the temple, stirred up all the people and laid hands on him, crying out, 'Men of Israel, help! This is the man that teacheth all men everywhere against the people and the law and this place, and further brought Greeks into the temple and hath polluted this holy place.' For they had seen before with him in the city Trophimus, an Ephesian, whom they supposed that Paul had brought into the temple. And all the city was moved, and the people ran together. And they took Paul and drew him out of the temple, and forthwith the doors were shut. And as they went about to kill him, tidings came unto the chief captain of the band that all Jerusalem was in an uproar." Now, Paul did as his brothers suggested. However, when he returned to the temple to present his offering, the Jews from Asia who had dogged Paul's ministry were incited. They were there. They incited the crowd with rumors about his practice of the law. "This is the man that teaches all men everywhere against the people being Israel, and against the law of Moses, and against this place, the temple. And more than that, he's brought a Greek into the temple."
Yeah.
Now, this was an assumption by these people that Trophimus, a saved Gentile, had been introduced into the temple by Paul because he'd been seen with Paul. Now, that's what you call a rumor.
Yeah.
That's what you call a real rumor. Now, there was a court of the Gentiles. There was a place where Trophimus could go. But there was a door that if he passed, it was his head. And the Romans had given permission to the Jews that anybody who went into the temple and defiled the temple, the Jews could execute him. So that was something they were trying to do here. It meant death for a Gentile to pass beyond the limit of that court of the Gentiles. And these Jewish enemies of Paul and the message of the gospel of by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, they used their assumption to begin a rumor which spread like wildfire and almost caused the death of the Apostle Paul. They wanted to get rid of Paul. They'd been trying to get rid of him. And they wanted to now. And they were going to use the Romans or try to use the Romans. The Romans had given the Jewish leaders authority to execute anyone that profaned the temple. And so they were in the process of killing Paul when the soldiers intervened. Now, early Christians were accused of cannibalism. Did you know that? They were accused of cannibalism because non-believers heard them recite the words of Jesus during their communion service.
Yeah.
At the Last Supper, Jesus said this, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. This is my body, which is broken for you." Unbelievers heard them saying that. And it's, you know, Jesus is, "This represents my body and this represents my blood." But they were taking it literally and they're killing children and eating them. They're drinking their blood. And that was what they were doing. They thought that these people, they made rumors that the Christians practiced human sacrifice and cannibalism. Now that's more like Satanism.
Right.
Rumors regarding this Christian ordinance instituted by Christ was one of the reasons that Christians were so severely persecuted in many respects. Now you and I, if we live to please the Lord, we will be misunderstood. There will be rumors that will be spread about us. And because we follow what the Bible says about holy living, we are often accused of legalism. We are often accused of being bigots. We are accused of being intolerant. We are accused of being hate mongers. The Bible is classified as hate literature in some places. But that's not true, and you and I know it. Such is not the case. We have been liberated from the law of Moses so that we might live according to the law of Christ and the principles of the Bible. To be free from the law does not mean that there are not biblical rules about holy living. So those who say, "Well, I'm under grace, I'm not under the law, and I can live any way I want to," they are not right. Paul comes up with a lot of information about how we ought to live. And 1 Peter talks about it too. And Peter talks about it too. There are things that Christians should not do. We are to be a distinct people, a peculiar people, a particular people to God, a priesthood of believers. Now, you folks know what happened to me last year when I tried to do my job as a bus driver. I told a girl that she could no longer sit with a boy because of what she was doing. Well, I reported the girl to the principal. The video was pulled. The camera video was pulled from the bus's camera, and she was dealt with. She was guilty. And they had multiple videos of what she was doing. However, her mother tried to get me fired. And soon afterwards, I was apprised of the rumor that was going around among the high school girls on the bus that I was a sexual predator. Now, Paul suffered because of rumors about his message and his practice of the law as he tried to live to please the Lord. And he was not the last who will suffer such. And I can say that some of you have been accused of things that were not true.
Right.
Being a drug pusher and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Just rumors. Dr. John's a dentist, and he was accused of being a drug pusher and an alcoholic. I never found them to be true. Anyway, Paul wasn't the last, and he wasn't the first. Our Lord suffered the same thing. Rumors. They kill. They're dangerous. Rumors about his message. Rumors about his practice. And lastly, rumors about his identity. And this comes down to the captain of the guard. Verse 32. And the captain, I'm going to read verse 31. And as they went about to kill him, tidings came unto the chief captain of the band. This is the band that was in charge of keeping peace in Jerusalem. That all Jerusalem was in an uproar. Who immediately took soldiers and centurions and ran down unto them. And when they saw the chief captain and the soldiers, they left beating of Paul. So they had centurions, more than one centurion. So there were several hundred soldiers that showed up. So the captain, he took his band and they went. And they left beating of Paul. See, they were beating Paul to death. When they saw the soldiers, they quit. Then the chief captain came near and took Paul, and commanded Paul to be bound with two chains, and demanded who he was and what he had done. And some cried one thing, some another, among the multitude. And when he could not know and the certainty for the tumult, tumult is how it is in French, tumult, he commanded him to be carried into the castle. And when he came up on the stairs, so it was that he was borne of the soldiers for the violence of the people. That means that Paul was so badly beaten, he couldn't walk. Soldiers had to carry him, help him. For the multitude of the people followed after, crying, "Away with him! Away with him!" And as Paul was to be led into the castle, he said unto the chief captain, "May I speak unto thee?" Who said, "Canst thou speak Greek? Art thou not that Egyptian which before these days madest an uproar and leddest out into the wilderness 4,000 men that were murderers?" So the captain, he thought Paul was somebody else. He'd heard rumors. So he was looking at a rumor. The captain of the guard had heard of an Egyptian who had revolted against Rome and led 400 murderers, and with all the noise and disorder going on, the captain couldn't hear the truth, so he had formed his own opinion by what he had heard. This is why he had Paul trussed up in two chains. He considered Paul to be a dangerous criminal, a dangerous prisoner. So the captain had let himself be carried along with rumors about Paul's identity. Now, after correcting the rumors regarding who he was, Paul asked permission to speak to the mob who had been beating him when the soldiers intervened. He had been hurt by the beating, needed to be assisted by the soldiers up the stairs. However, his desire to see his fellow Israelites saved was so strong that he asked permission to speak to them. He wanted to try once again to set the record straight and squelch the rumors. Lord willing, we shall consider Paul's speech on the stairs the next time we are in Acts. But we're not going to. That starts in chapter 22. But Paul said, he says, "Are not thou that Egyptian?" And Paul responds, "I am a man which am a Jew of Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, a citizen of no mean city, and I beseech thee, suffer me to speak unto the people." And when he had given him license, Paul stood on the stairs and beckoned with the hand unto the people. And when there was made a great silence, he spake unto them in the Hebrew tongue. Mm. And we'll consider that next time we're here. In an Oriental country, a woman had spread a rumor that she later learned was false. She went to the wise old man in the village. She asked him how she could set right what she had done. This wise old man told her to go and buy a chicken. Then he told her to kill the chicken and to walk through the streets of the village plucking the chicken. The next day, the woman returned to the wise man to report that she had done as ordered. Yeah. He responded, "Now, go back through the village and pick up all the feathers that you scattered while plucking the chicken." Mm-hmm. The woman spent the whole day searching for feathers. At sunset, she returned to the wise man with only 3 feathers that she had found. Mm-hmm. He said to her, "You now see how easy it is to scatter the feathers, but that it is impossible to gather them back up." It's the same thing with a false rumor. It's easy to spread, but it's impossible to stop. After seeing the damage that can be done by rumors, let us as Christians never be guilty of the sin of spreading rumors. Now, Jesus called rumors false witness, which breaks the 9th commandment. Here's what he said. Jesus said in Matthew, and I guess here I have it. I don't have the whole thing. "Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness," that's rumors, "blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man." So Jesus was very clear. You know, a rumor breaks the 9th commandment. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Paul's story and these verses teach us that living for the Lord brings on the risk of rumors. We've seen the effect of rumors in the life of the Apostle Paul. Rumors were spread by his enemies, and humanly speaking, they almost succeeded in getting him killed. If you and I are going to live for the Lord, we too may be victims of rumors. In fact, I know that some of you have had to deal with rumors being spread about you. In dealing with rumors, we see the apostle trust in the Lord. The Lord had told Paul that he would bear the name of Jesus before the Jews, before the Gentiles, and before kings. And in this very dangerous incident in Paul's life, he was trusting in the Lord. You and I need to follow his example of trusting the Lord even when false witness or false rumors are spread about us. This morning I heard a story that Ravi Zacharias told. And I think it's very appropriate with us who might have to deal with rumors. But the thing is that what might incite rumors is how we live. And that's what's important. In Yugoslavia, there was a man named Zimmerman. And he was visited by an evangelist named Yakov. Now, Zimmerman, he refused to hear Yakov's message with the words, "The corrupt and immoral priests of the church have mistreated my people. Why should I listen to you?" Yakov said, "Let me ask you a question and then I'll go." He said, "Someone steals your hat and your coat, goes into the town and robs the bank. Many people see the thief fleeing in your hat and your coat. The police come to arrest you. What would you say?" Mr. Zimmerman responded, "I would tell them that it wasn't me, but someone else in my hat and coat." "It's the same with the church," replied Yakov. "Some false shepherds try to wear the coat of Christ." Every year for several years, this evangelist, as he went around, he would go and visit Mr. Zimmerman. He talked with him of Christ. And at last, several years later, Mr. Zimmerman receives Christ and he said, "Thank you for coming so many times to bring me Christ." Then he said, "You wear Christ's coat well." That's the whole point of this passage. That you and I wear Christ's coat well. Nice. So well that there will be those who will not like us because of who we are.
Right.
And they will spread rumors. The Apostle Peter wrote this in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation." Whereas they speak against you as evildoers. He says, having your conversation, your behavior, your manner of life, of integrity and honesty and morality in such a way that they may speak evil of you. But when the day comes and they have to stand before God, they will have to confess that I spoke evil of him.
Right.
I spoke evil of her. They did not. I didn't like them because of who they were and how good and godly and righteous they lived. I didn't want Christ. I didn't want them, but they lived before me. They wore Christ's coat well.
Yeah.
And I hated them for it. And I started with rumors. And see, God's going to bring all that out.
Right.
And that's what Peter's talking about. Mm-hmm. They will glorify God in the day of visitation because God will be glorified in the fact that his children are vindicated by the confession of those who call them evildoers, who spoke evil of them, who spread rumors about them because they lived for Christ.
Right.
And that's what happened to Paul. Mm-hmm. May that happen to each one of us. May we live in such a way that we wear Christ's coat well.
Right.
So that there will be rumors. But most people will see that those rumors are false when they know us.
Right.
In spite of rumors which might be spread about us, Peter exhorts us to live in honesty and integrity so that even if we are spoken against as evildoers, our accusers will have to admit our good works before the Lord at the great judgment seat. And thus they will bring glory to God, who is working in us and through us to bring souls to Christ as we wear Christ's coat well. Let's pray. Father, we bow before you. Quite some story about the Apostle Paul. You told Ananias that to tell him that he would have to suffer much. We know that Paul persecuted the church and he never got over it. He never got over the fact that you loved him so much that you sent your son to die for him. And he always called himself the chief of sinners. But he said, "This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." The Lord, we thank you that you did send Jesus. The Lord, we who know Christ as our Savior, Lord, we have a responsibility, just as the Apostle Paul did. He went about, he spread the gospel, he told Jews and Gentiles alike about Jesus and his death, burial, and resurrection. The Lord, his life showed it, demonstrated his devotion to you. Now, Father, I'm asking you to help me. I'm asking you to help every person here today, that we would each commit ourselves anew to be devoted totally to you in such a way that people can see we're different, that we wear Christ's coat well, that we live in such a way that those who are convicted by our very presence will spread rumors about us, because they know we love you, and they know we love them, and they know that we are telling the truth. God, help us to live in this way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.